Was here. My name is Greg Horn, and I don't know about you, but man, one of the ways that God really speaks to me is through music, and I love to worship God. There's so many different types of music out there, but today you're going to be blessed to hear about a new album that's just come out. It's called Invite Me Into Wonder, live at Iron Bell, and the artist is Kurt Vernon, and Kurt, man, really excited. I've heard a couple of tunes off this, Calling Out Death and Three Best Days. And, man, as my hero Wayne Smith, the founding pastor of Southland Christian, said, if that doesn't light your fire, your wood's wet. Talk to us a little bit about this album, man.
Yes, sir. Man, this is just, you know, we spent the last few days getting to talk about God's provision. And honestly, this album is nothing but further confirmation of that. I've written songs for 20 years or so, and I love writing songs. That's one, but honestly, it's just what I do in prayer. It's like I get with the Lord. It's my favorite way to pray to Him, to pray with the melody behind it. I told people years ago, I could tell that when I sang that there was some pride involved, you know, like leading worship. It got people's attention. I've always been like a really tall, goofy-looking dude, and suddenly I'd sing with a guitar, and I'd see girls look at me more. I thought, oh, man, I like this music stuff. And when I fell in love with Jesus, I legitimately, for a while, I thought, I need to give up music because there's too much of a tendency and a propensity towards pride in my heart, and I just didn't trust myself. Mm. And then finally, one day, it hit me. I was just praying to the Lord, and I had this simple thought. You know what? A lot more people will pray with you if you've got a guitar in your hand. Mm. And I thought, okay, well, Lord, I can exploit guitars to get people to pray. I'm okay with that mentality. And so that's kind of been my heart, you know, and I love getting to write and sing. And have gotten to record a few things here and there just with some friends, you know. But for years, my thought has always been like, what would it be like to produce a really, really excellent album? You know, because I think one thing a lot of times gets associated with Christianity, unfortunately, is, well, sometimes, oh, our music's 10 years behind, or it lacks the quality of what the world does. And I thought, man, that should not be the reputation of the kingdom.
Yes.
I mean, all the great art that came out of the past few hundred years, the vast majority of those artists, you know why they were doing it? For the glory of God. Hmm. That was it. And so the fact that now we have the world has this reputation for kind of having a monopoly on high quality art, I thought, that's a shame. So I prayed and I said, Lord, I would love to be able to record and do it with excellence. But I'm telling you, my dad is 60 years old, and I'm only 35, and he is about four times more tech savvy than me. I do not have a clue what to do. Anything tech.
I'm laughing with you, not at you, brother. I'm a little totally technically challenged too. So.
I mean, I'm finally figuring out how to use an iPhone. I had one for 10 years, you know, and I did not have a clue how to record things, and especially to do that well. And so I told the Lord, I said, God, I'd love to be able to do this. And I knew, I could tell my heart wasn't to do this for notoriety or for anything like that. I said, Lord, I really believe that you would want to do this, that this would bring glory to you. My dad came to me, and my dad's an amazing man of God. He's now a missionary full time. He actually planted the church that I got to take over, and got to take over for him while he went to do full time missions all over the world. And he's an amazing man of God. But my dad hates music, which is kind of a little bit ironic having a son who's a worship leader.
Yeah.
And one time he came to me, he said, hey, Kurt, do you think those songs are yours or do you think they're God's? I said, well, Dad, honestly, I really do think that God writes them first, and I feel more like a stenographer. Mm. I just write them down for him. It's like he lets me hear them before anybody else. Mm. He said, well, at what point are you going to stop keeping them to yourself and start giving them to the people that God wrote them for? Mm. I said, all right. And when my dad, who hates music, gives me musical advice, I take notice. I said, all right, I think you're right, Dad. And so that's when that prayer began. I said, all right, Lord, if you want me to do this, you got to do it because I don't have a clue. So meeting with a small group of friends, about 12 of us in a living room, and I went in that one night and I said, hey, I feel like the Lord's convicted me that I don't pray the impossible prayers that I used to. Mm. Everybody give me one impossible prayer and I'll give you mine, and we can all pray for them for each other and watch them answer prayers. We all shared, and my impossible prayer was that God would let me record my music. So that was on a Tuesday night. 2 weeks later, on a Tuesday, I'm in Louisville, Kentucky. I have a buddy there named Stephen McWhorter. He's the lead singer of Iron Bell Music, who's an amazing, amazing band that's been a real encouragement to me. Writes some incredible songs, especially dealing directly with condemnation and shame. And Steve and I had been friends, and I'd emailed him some. We'd talked a little bit over the years, but I hadn't seen him in forever, maybe 2 years. So I texted him, "Hey, I'm in your hometown. What are you doing?" So he texted me back, "Let's meet at Starbucks." We go sit down, and we're just talking life, talking kingdom, you know, just talking about family and church and all kinds of things. Hardly any, we didn't talk about anything music. And suddenly, in the middle of this conversation, he just stops, and he goes, "Whoa, Kurt, I just got a word from the Lord for you." I said, "Oh, that sounds dramatic." "So what's the word?" He said, "The word is yes." And I started laughing. I said, "Did he tell you specifically what the yes was for?" Yeah. And he looked at me and he smiled. He said, "He wants you to know the answer is yes. I'm going to produce your music." I said, "Why did you even bring that up? That's bizarre." I mean, I'm sitting at a table with a man I hadn't seen in 2 years. I mean, this wasn't like a very logical conclusion. I mean, this was clearly a moment that God was intervening. So Stephen and I began to hang out and to work on these songs, and got to take 8 of them, got to use his band and go to Iron Bell in Louisville, which is a prayer room and worship space, and got to record them there that night. And we took those live recordings, and sure enough, my prayer to get to produce it with excellence, the Lord answered that more than I ever could have dared to ask or imagine. And the 8 songs that have come out, I'm just really excited about. Because I think they've got the potential to really get to speak some truth into people's lives in a way that might be fresh. And really all they are is just, it's the promises of God that he's taught me, and it's these truths from Scripture just put in melodic form so that they're easier to remember and meditate on.
Well, it definitely does. That mission's accomplished there. I've listened to a couple of your tunes there, 3 Best Days and Calling Out Death, and it's got good energy. The lyrics, really encouraged me, and I look forward to listening to them a lot more. Talk to us a little bit about those 2 tunes. First one, Calling Out Death. What was your message in that song?
Yes, sir. So Calling Out Death, this one's kind of fun because I stole this one. I stole all these lyrics. I'll confess it right now on the air. Stole it from a songwriter named the Apostle Paul.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's almost word for word, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 to 58. I realized a long time ago, I told the Lord one day in prayer, I said, "God, I bet if you wrote songs, they'd be amazing." And I stopped, paused for a second in prayer, and suddenly had the thought, wait, that's what Psalms is.
Mm-hmm.
I realized, wait, God wrote 150 songs and forgot to copyright them. I'm like, all right, I'm going to take those. You know, so then I started taking Scripture as much as I could, just put it to music. Helps me meditate, helps me remember it better. Mm-hmm. You know, it leads me to a place of prayer more frequently. And more than anything else, like, you're never going to outwrite God. Mm-hmm. You know, these are his words, the thoughts and heart of the Most High, packaged in ink, paper, and leather binding. That's what I believe about the inerrancy of God's word. So I thought, man, if I can take these truths, put into music in a way that people can participate in them. And there's something that God did weird with melody, where a good melody gets stuck in your head. You know, you get it, and sometimes it's obnoxious. But I thought, if I could use that to get Scripture stuck in people's heads, what a gift that would be to my community. What a gift that would be to me. What a gift that would be to the church. And so Calling Out Death really is. It was a 4-part with a few different friends, a buddy named Robbie Gray, a friend named Donovan Norris, Stephen McWhorter, and myself, who over the course of time got to take that passage of Scripture and really put it in the format. It's funny because the tagline that I've been using underneath this music is, "Not your grandma's church songs." And then I put in parentheses, "But you might be tempted to buy a copy for your grandma too," because it is this simple, beautiful, timeless truth. Mm-hmm. But Calling Out Death, people have told me that it's kind of a little bit of almost a Lynyrd Skynyrd throwback, because it's got a little Southern rock feel. And so,
yes, sir. Yes,
and that's
sir.
Something that I love, and I feel like I don't hear a lot of in the Christian music world. And I'm sure there's things out there. I'm not saying there's not. But I thought, man, how fun would that be to get something that'll be a little foot stomping, and just get people with it, don't even realize it, that when they're singing along, all they're doing is singing eternal truth right out of the Word of God.
Amen. Well, it is. It's a great tune. I really enjoyed it and look forward to maybe making it part of my morning routine, get me fired up as I go out and try to seize the day when I leave my house. Tell us a little bit about the second song I heard called 3 Best Days.
3 Best Days. Now, I'll give you the line to the chorus, because it's going to sound a little awkward, but I'll give explanation. All right, it says, "The 3 best days of the devil's life, he thought he had you crucified. Must not have heard you say you'd rise. because you got up and then death died.
Mm.
And that was about 5-6 years ago. We were doing some worship nights called Night Watch. It was a young friend of mine. There was a girl in a sorority on UK's campus who had kind of talked with a bunch of church leaders and said, people don't pray enough. And everybody said, yeah, you're right. But then they wouldn't really do much about it. She said, well, I'm going to do something about it. So she invited 8 or 9 friends, I think, to pray and said, hey, I invited 8 or 9 of my friends to come and pray from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. on a Friday. She said, when I had this thought, I just imagined there being a guy with a guitar. And sure enough, I end up at this night of worship in a converted garage. I'm expecting it's going to be 8 or 9 college students and me. I get there, and almost 100 people showed up.
Wow.
And they didn't stay till 2 a.m. They stayed till 3 a.m., and then we had to kick them out. Then we did another one the next month, and 130. And then after that, eventually got to a couple hundred people, to the point where this converted garage was so packed full that you're just everybody sweating profusely, but loving it. And they were these sweet times of worship. And what I found was we'd pray. We'd do that with, you know, I'd kind of lead this time of prayer often with a guitar and sometimes just letting people spend time alone with Jesus, sometimes ministering to one another. But ultimately, when you spend 4 hours in prayer, you're not going to just sing songs everybody knows the whole time. One thing I'd do almost every one of those nights, we'd stop, we'd play chords, and I'd say, all right, this is the part where we get to write our own love song to Jesus.
Mm.
Both in the Old Testament and in the New, there's a Hebrew word in the Old and a Greek word in the New that basically means the same thing. It's to sing to the Lord a new song. It's a concept we talk about a lot. David repeats it frequently. But what it means is not something that came out 6 months ago on K-Love. It means, what does it mean for us to sing a brand new song to the Lord? Mm. Something fresh. Mm. Something that has never been written until the moment it comes out of your mouth. To sing a new song. Don't have to rhyme. Don't have to sound pretty. Just sing a new song. So we'd do that. So we'd stop and I'd say, all right, let's sing a new song to the Lord. And sure enough, in about 15 seconds right after I invited them to do that, these thoughts popped in my mind. And I sang them out that quickly, and it stuck. And sometimes I'll notice the Lord will do this when he gives me a song. I can tell if people can participate within the first 30 seconds, I'm probably onto something good. If it's already got that feel that you can jump in,
right,
and you hear it the first time, and you feel like you already heard it before. And so that's what the song was. And we took that song, got to expand it, Stephen McWhorter and I, and I added a bridge later on that was... Just a bridge that really kind of, some people kind of get a little uncomfortable with it because it talks about laughing at the devil. But what it says is that I'd had this moment, this vision in prayer one day when I was just asking the Lord about what he wanted for my city, what he wanted for Lexington, what he wanted for my church community. And had this image, I had a vision in my head of a young boy walking up to these giant gates. Almost looked like Mordor from Lord of the Rings. But it was like, there were about 100,000 people behind him, but this little boy walked up and knocked on the front door, and the devil answered the door. I was like, in this vision, I'm like, what is going on? And the little boy just looks up at the devil and says, we're here to pick a fight. And I thought, man, that's it. Because Scripture does not tell us that we sit back in ivory towers protected from the raging world around us. It says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Mm. And I thought, I don't hear enough of that theology in my worship songs, and I want to. And so that's what this song is kind of in an effort to corporately pick a fight with the devil.
Good stuff. People want to find these songs or this album. Where do they go, Kurt?
You can go to either to Spotify or Apple Music or wherever music is heard. You can buy it on iTunes. And here in the next day or two, I'm going to be starting a Kickstarter campaign to sell the whole CD. If you search Kurt Vernon, C-U-R-T, Vernon, V-E-R-N-O-N, on Kickstarter, you can find access to it.
All right. We've had a great time this week with Kurt Vernon. Check him out. Know you'll love his music. KurtVernon.com. That's with a C. And the KurtVernon.com. I'm Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here.
If you threaten me, then sin would have to die, have to die in me. Here to sing, if you threaten me, then sin would have to die.